this one of her prayer. Oh my Jesus, will you be blessed for everything? I rejoice that your most holy will is being accomplished. That is quite enough to make me happy. Hidden Jesus, in you lies all my strength. From my most tender years, the Lord Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament has attracted me to himself. Once, when I was 7 years old, at a Vesper service conducted before the Lord Jesus in the monstrance, the love of God was imparted to me for the first time and filled my little heart. 7 years old. And the Lord gave me understanding of divine things. From the day until this, my love for the hidden God has been growing constantly to the point of closest intimacy. All the strength of my soul flows from the Blessed Sacrament. I spend all my free moments in conversation with him. He is my master. November 30th, 1937. When I was going upstairs this evening, a strange dislike for everything having to do with God suddenly came over me. At that, I heard Satan, who said to me, "Think no more about this work. God is not as merciful as you say he is. Do not pray for the sinners, because they will be condemned all the same. And by this work of mercy, you expose your own self to damnation." Strong temptation, huh? Talk no more about this mercy of God with your confessor, and especially not with the fathers of Subocco and Father Andres. At this point, the voice took the appearance of my guardian angel, and at that moment, I replied, "I know who you are, the father of lies." I made a sign of the cross, and the angel vanished with great racket and fury. Today, the Lord gave me to know in theory that he would never abandon me. He gave me to know his majesty and his holiness, as well as his love and mercy towards me. And he gave me a deep knowledge of my own righteousness. However, this great mystery of mine does not deprive me of trust. On the contrary, the better I have come to know my own mystery, the stronger has become my trust in God's mercy. I've come to understand how all this depends on the Lord. I know that no one would touch a single hair of my head without his willing it. So, nobody will touch you. Jesus will protect you all the same. When I was receiving Holy Communion today, I noticed in the cup a living host, which the priest gave to me. When I returned to my place, I asked the Lord, "Why was one host alive, since you are equally alive under each of the species?" The Lord answered me, "That is so. I'm the same under each of the species, but not every soul received me with the same living faith as you do, my daughter, and therefore I cannot act in their souls as I do in yours." So, when your soul is open, Jesus is the same, but when our door is closed, he cannot do much. So she saw Jesus in a vivid way, receive Holy Communion, but he could not see the others. So that's how Jesus explained to her, the difference is how much you open yourself to the Lord. I was present at Holy Mass celebrated by Father Subocco. During the Mass, I saw the infant Jesus who, touching the priest's forehead with his finger, said to me, His thought is closely united to mine. So be at peace about what concerns my work. I will not let him make a mistake. And you should do nothing without his permission. This filled my soul with great peace as regards everything that has to do with this work. Today the Lord Jesus is giving me an awareness of himself and of his most tender love and care for me. He is bringing me to understand deeply how everything depends on his will and how he allows certain difficulties precisely for our merit so that our fidelity might be clearly manifest. And through this, I have been given strength for suffering and self-denial. December 7, 1937. Today is the eve of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. During the midday meal, in an instant, God gave me to know the greatness of my destiny, that is, his closeness, which for all eternity will not be taken away from me. And he did this in such a vivid and clear fashion that remained wrapped up in his living presence for a long time, humbling myself before his greatness. O Divine Spirit, Spirit of truth, of light, draw ever in my soul by your divine grace. May your breath dissipate the darkness, and this light may good deeds be multiplied. O Divine Spirit, Spirit of love and of mercy, who pour out the palm of trust in my heart, your grace confirms my soul in good, giving it the invincible power of constancy. O Divine Spirit, Spirit of peace and joy, you invigorate my thirsting heart and pour into the living fountain of God's love, making it intrepid for battle. O Divine Spirit, my soul's most welcome guest, for my part, I want to remain faithful to you, both in days of joy and in agony of suffering. I want always, O Spirit of God, to live in your presence. O Divine Spirit, who pervades my whole being and give me to know your divine threefold life, initiating me into your divine essence. Thus, united to you, I will live a life without end. It is with great zeal that I have prepared for the celebration of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Mother of God. I have made an extra effort to keep recollected in spirit and have meditated on all that unique privilege of Our Lady. And thus, my heart was completely drowned in her, thanking God for having accorded this great privilege to Maria. I prepare not only by means of the novena set in the common by the whole community, but also to make a personal effort to salute her 1,000 times each day, saying 1,000 Hail Marys for 9 days in her praise. This is now the third time I have set such a novena to the Mother of God. That is, a novena made up of 1,000 Ave Maria each day. Thus, the novena consists in 9,000 salutations. Although I have done this now 3 times in my life, and 2 of these while in the course of my duties, I have never failed in carrying out my task with the greatest exactitude. I've always set the novena outside the time of my exercises. That is to say, I have not said Ave Maria during Holy Mass or benediction. Once I made the novena while lying ill in the hospital. Where there's a will, there's a way. 1,000 Hail Mary each day. There's a novena outside the time of prayer time, working, even on his sick bed. Well, you can at least hold your rosary whenever possible. Say some Hail Mary, you know, at least. If not 1,000, at least 50. You know. I've only prayed and worked. I have not said a single unnecessary word during these days. Although I must admit that such a matter requires a great deal of attention and effort. Nothing is too much when it comes to honoring the Immaculate Virgin. So when there's a will, there's a way. If you don't want, of course you have all the excuses. If you want, you can make it. The Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Before Holy Communion, I saw the Blessed Mother, inconceivably beautiful, smiling at me. She said to me, "No, not only Jesus, Peter, our Heavenly Mother also. My daughter, at God's command, I am to be, in a special and exclusive way, your mother. But I decide that you, too, in a special way, be my child. I decide, my dear, dearly beloved daughter, that you practice the three virtues that are dearest to me and most pleasing to God. The first is humility. Humility. And once again, humility. The second virtue, purity. The third virtue, love of God. As my daughter, you must especially radiate with these virtues." When the conversation ended, she pressed me to her heart and disappeared. When I regained the use of my senses, my heart became so wonderfully attracted to these virtues, and I practiced them faithfully. They are still engraved in my heart. First is humility, humility, and again humility, the first virtue. We've always put love in the first thing instance. So at times when you hear some words not pleasing, some expression of other people not welcoming, sometimes you just feel belittled. Be joyful. Otherwise, you're not humble enough. You react. Why she said this to me? Why she look at me in this way? Why she behave in this way? Humble. I think I have any mother on earth. If people criticize Jesus, so much so, they criticize his mother. They envious of her, because his son doing so many miracles. So who are you, Mary? Who are you? No? You can imagine. Even they don't say out, speak out. You can feel people despising her as much as they despise Jesus. This has been a great day for me. During this day, I remained as though in unceasing contemplation. The very thought of this grace drew me into further contemplation, and throughout the whole day I continued in thanksgiving, which I never stopped, because each recollection of this grace caused my soul ever anew to lose itself in God. Only living in God, nothing else. Her heart completely take God in, nothing, yeah, the rest. Oh my Lord, my soul is the most wretched of all, and yet you stooped to it with such kindness. I see clearly your greatness and my littleness, and therefore I rejoice that you are powerful and without limit. And so I rejoice greatly at being so little. Accept your littleness. O suffering Christ, I'm going out to meet you. As your bride, I must resemble you. Your cloak of anonymity must cover me too. O Christ, you know how ardently I desire to become like you. Grant that your entire passion may be mine, may be my Lord. May all your sorrow be poured into my heart. I trust that you will completely, will complete this in me in the way you deemed most fitting. So she's open to suffering, whatever, only for Jesus. Today there was a nocturnal adoration. I could not take part in it because of my poor health. She cannot, but you can, because you have better health. No? But before I fell asleep, I united myself with the sisters who were at adoration. Between 4 and 5 o'clock, I was suddenly awakened, and I heard the voice telling me to join those who were adoring at that time. You were here?
No.
Okay. Anyway, you need a special vocation, nocturnal adoration. It's a really gift, it's a gift. Before 4 and 5 o'clock, I was suddenly awakened, and I heard a voice telling me to join those who were adoring at that time. I understood that there was among them a soul who was praying for me. When I steeped myself in prayer, I was transported in the spirit to the chapel by location. When I saw the Lord Jesus exposed in the monstrance, in place of the monstrance, I saw the glorious face of the Lord, and he said to me, "What you see in reality, these souls see through faith." So she had the gift to see the face of Jesus in the monstrance, in the host. And the rest, only they see Jesus by faith only. And Jesus said to me, "What you see in reality, these souls see through faith. Oh, how pleasing to me is their great faith." You see, although this appears to be no trace of life in me, in reality, it is present in its fullness in each and every host. So we see Jesus playing, not moving. But Jesus knows each host, move it. But for me, to be able to act upon a soul, the soul must have faith. Oh, how pleasing to me is a living faith. So, those taking part in adoration at that time were Mother Superior and a few other sisters. But I recognized that it was Mother Superior's prayer which had moved heaven and rejoiced that they are souls so pleasing to God. When during recreation the next day, I asked which sisters had been at adoration between 4 and 5 o'clock. One of the sisters cried out, "Why do you ask, sister? Perhaps you had some revelation." I fell silent and said no more, because she was present. She cannot reveal this by location, no? So she stopped. Sometimes she's still genuine, asking questions. Although I was asked by Mother Superior, I could answer because it was not a suitable moment to reveal that she had this gift. On a certain occasion, one of the sub-sisters confided to me that she wanted to choose a certain priest as her confessor. Very pleased, she shared the news with me and asked me to pray for that intention. And so I promised her to do so. During prayer, I learned that that soul would gain no spiritual profit from this direction. And then, the next time we met, she told me again of her great joy of being under his direction. I joined in her joy, but when she had left, I was severely rebuked Jesus told me to let her, to tell her what he had given me to know during prayer, which I did at the first opportunity, although it cost me a great deal. Today, for a short while, I experienced the pain of the crown of thorns. I was praying for a certain soul before the Blessed Sacrament. In an instant, I felt such a violent pain that my head dropped onto the altar rail. Although this moment was very brief, it was very painful. Christ, give me souls. Let everything you like happen to me, but give me souls in return. I want the salvation of souls. I want souls to know your mercy. I have nothing left for myself, because I have given everything away to souls. If the result that on the day of judgment, I will stand before you empty-handed, since I have given everything away to souls. Thus, you will have nothing on which to judge me, and we shall meet on that day. Lord, and mercy. So she's offering her whole self, her whole body, mind, spirit, for the salvation of the souls of others. She leaves nothing for herself. She just wants to be just one with the Lord, nothing else for herself.